Welcome to CANNY Climate Dialogues, the podcast at the intersection of international education and climate action. I'm your host today, Amy Marcus, and today we'll be discussing how a climate-focused book club can become a source of community, learning, and inspiration for climate action. In 2023, six CANNY members, including me, your host, came together to read a single climate-focused book together over about 10 weeks. The result, though, was such an engaging, enjoyable, learning-friendly space that we decided to make it an ongoing climate-focused book club that we've since lovingly renamed the Book Nook. We'll share all about how the Book Nook came to be, what we've learned along the way, and how to start your own climate-focused book club. We have a total of five amazing guests here today, working across a whole spectrum of international education and climate justice areas. We have Katie Davidson, Adrian Fusick, Jake Graff, Kayla Weiss, and Ina Mesit Williams. They'll introduce themselves in our conversation, so you'll hear more from them. And I'm so excited for you to get to know these really impressive individuals. Now, before we jump into the conversation, some quick housekeeping. I'd like to give the friendly reminder to subscribe to our podcast feed wherever it is that you lend your ears to the CANNY Climate Dialogues. And if you're one of our friends who listens on Apple Podcasts, let us know how you like the show with a friendly rating. On to the show. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited for our CANNY listeners to hear from all of you because you've become some of my favorite people over the last year or so. I would love to start with introductions so we can hear your voices and know who in the world you are. So I'm going to go alphabetical by last name. Katie, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Katie Davidson, and I'm the Senior Study Abroad Advisor at Utah State University. I'm from the Midwest originally, and I moved to Utah about 9 years ago, both for the job and study abroad and to be in the mountains. And I originally joined the Book Nook to connect with others and find ideas of how we could integrate climate change education and or events into our pre-departure and returnee programming.
Awesome. Thank you. Adrian.
Hello. I'm Adrian Fusick, and I currently serve as the executive director of a nonprofit in San Diego called In Good Company. We are a climate justice organization. Our mission is to repair systemic injustices through decarbonization projects. My previous life was in international education. And I was a founding board member of CANNY, a co-founder of the Climate Justice Working Group, and the lead author on the CANNY Accord.
Thank you. Then we have Jake.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jake Graff. I am a global program advisor for internships at AIFS Abroad, where I'm also heavily involved in our green initiative work. So a lot of work on student education related to sustainability, as well as more like business operations and operating sustainably. I also currently serve as co-president for the Climate Justice Working Group at CANNY. I am from Ohio originally and have been in Colorado for the last three-ish years, where I also serve as a Wildkeeper ambassador for Keep Nature Wild and volunteer with 350 Colorado.
Thank you. Kayla.
Woo! I love all these intros and hearing about what you guys do, even though I know it already, but I'm Kayla Weiss. I am from and currently in Vermont in the U.S. I work for CIS Abroad, a study abroad program provider, and while I am working as an enrollment coordinator for CIS, I also co-lead the sustainability at the company, and starting literally next week, I will be dedicating one day a week to a project that is aligning our company with the SDGs, which is super exciting. And I also just wrapped up in December my two-year term on the CANNY Global Board.
Yes, awesome. Ine.
Hey, everyone. I'm Ine. I'm originally from California, but I'm living the off-grid life in Arizona these days. I entered the international education sector back in 2004, and I was actually transitioning out of the STEM career in the corporate arena into the international education spaces. And now years later, I'm actually pivoting again to apply my skills and experiences and interest to just a wider variety of spaces and audiences, primarily through educational consulting types of endeavors. And my experience in CANI was what really put me on the pathway to climate action. I was on the global board from 2020 to 2023, and also the same years was co-chair of the Climate Justice Working Group. And at the end of 2023, I just started my very first small business called Sister to Sister Oasis, where my sister and I are essentially going to offer short-term sustainable off-grid vacation stays and micro-treat opportunities for people in the Southwest Desert region. So I'm really excited to be back on the podcast because this is my second time being here. And thanks for having me.
Yay! Congrats on the launch. I don't think we knew the name of the organization yet. So that's awesome. And I think Adrian has been a guest as well. Is that right?
I've been a guest and a host. I think that's it. Yeah.
Thought so.
Talking about the podcast, not Sister to
podcast.
Sister.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Okay. Because I want
to
be.
We're all hoping to visit Sister to Sister someday, but awesome. Oh, see, don't you already love these folks? And we haven't even heard anything else about them. Okay. So I'd love to start. Normally with our guests, we ask them what their climate story is. We've got six of us on here. So instead, I'm going to ask, what's this group's climate story? Like, how did this group come to be? And I think Adrian was thinking of answering this one for us.
Yeah, so we were all involved with international education professionally and also interested in climate action. And so individually, we were all part of CANI, the Climate Action Network for International Educators, obviously. And so Ine and I had co-founded the Climate Justice Working Group. And through that group, met Amy, Jake, Kayla, and others, several others. And it was just a really collaborative, open, wonderful space. And I believe, Amy, it was you that brought up All We Can Save and your facilitation of a reading circle. And you had already facilitated a reading circle with your previous organization and suggested that we do it through CANI. And so we had lots of conversations around, okay, well, we're an international organization. How do we do this? How do we manage time zones and that kind of thing? And so we just decided to put a call out on our Slack space to ask other CANI members, CANI volunteers, if they wanted to be a part of a reading circle, starting with All We Can Save, facilitated by Amy. And so it was really kind of low stakes in terms of, you know, there's not any kind of professional commitment or like you have to read the whole book and then talk about it. It was just this really friendly, really accessible, open space. And I think Katie replied to that call, and that's how we met Katie. So she wasn't originally part of the Climate Justice Working Group, but she came to be part of this group through through the Reading Circle, which was our original name. Let me see. So we loved the experience so much after reading that first book together. And we kind of check in periodically throughout the book. So we loved it so much that we decided to just continue on. And, you know, throughout the conversations, we talked about all these other books, all these other ideas that the reading brought to mind for us. And so we just kind of continued to do it. And that's really our climate story. And I'm probably forgetting something, maybe remembering things incorrectly. So feel free to jump in and help out if there's anything, any gaps you want to fill.
I think that was the gist.
I yeah, just want to interrupt you, Amy, to shout you out as our first host, kind of coordinator to bring us all together. You were utterly phenomenal. Your kindness and compassion just really kind of kicked things off wonderfully.
I want to second that too and say, you know, you made it really easy for us, right? So it's like, okay, just sign up and show up, do the reading, and you don't have to really worry about, you know, coming up with questions or anything like that because you had already done all of that for us, which made it really easy and enjoyable.
Oh, you all are so sweet. Thank you. And to be fair, our first book came with like a handbook practically. So it just took adapting it to the international ed space, which was really cool. And thanks for being my guinea pigs because it was really, really fun. thank you, Adrian, for sharing all that background on our little book group. I think it would be helpful to share more about the overall structure of our group and how it works. So like, how often do we meet? How much do we read between meetings? You know, the nuts and bolts of it. I want to hear more about that. Yeah, Katie.
Sure. Yeah. So we are spread out throughout the U.S. Therefore, we meet over Zoom. And those meetings are typically about an hour and a half at a time. And we usually meet once a week. And then we've taken like a few weeks break between each book that we've read. And then we usually read around like 25 to 35 pages per week, give or take, depending on where the chapters end. So often 2 to 3 chapters at a time. I've really liked the consistency of the weekly meetings and the size of reading for each week. I've done a few other book clubs where we've read like a third or a quarter of a book and then met like once a month. And I just didn't get to know the other people in the book club that well. And I also couldn't remember the reading very well when it was that large of a chunk of time between meetings. So I've really liked the amount of reading each week and that we meet weekly. And then the small size of our group has also worked really well. It has allowed us to really get to know each other and for everyone to have time to share when they want to share something. And I also feel like we got lucky that we all just really like each other and enjoy spending time together on Zoom each week. It's something that I look forward to, getting to spend time with colleagues and friends across the states who I have shared interests with.
Oh, it's so true. I love this group. We'll get more into it about like what we've all gotten out of this group, but the friendships have definitely been a big part of it. I'm thinking we haven't actually told people what books we've read besides that we started with All We Can Save. So we should probably share which books we've read and then what sort of topics have come up along the way with those books. Jake, you want to share those?
Yeah, so we are on our third book as a group. So as we mentioned, we started with All We Can Save, Truth, Courage, and Solutions for the Climate Crisis. That's edited by Iona Elizabeth Johnson and Catherine K. Wilkinson. We then moved on to another kind of climate anthology called Not Too Late, Changing the Climate Story from Despair to Possibility, which was edited by Rebecca Solnit and Thelma Young Latuna Tabua. Finally, the book that we're on right now is called Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants, which is by Robin Wall Kimmerer. So as Adrian kind of mentioned a bit already, we've spent a lot of time kind of talking about climate action, our own climate action journeys, and a little bit of how intimidating that can be. We've really talked about how we've all kind of struggled, but also succeeded in being involved in this space. So the first two books, All We Can Save and Not Too Late, are both climate anthologies. So they have sections that are really centered on kind of the impacts of climate change, looking at topics related to climate anxiety and despair. But and then I think they also do a really good job of kind of talking about how to translate those feelings into like that driving force behind our positive actions that we've all shared. Braiding Sweetgrass then has been a little bit of a shift for the group then. It's not as expressly like a quote unquote climate book like the others, but it focuses more on our relationship with nature, our role in protecting and respecting nature and respecting the environment. And a big topic has really been on reciprocity. So taking only what you need, giving back to the earth. And I think those conversations lately with this book have really helped us all go back into kind of the why of our climate work and why we're all involved in this space. So we've done a lot of work kind of combining, you know, climate action, talking about the science and impacts of climate change, but also integrating our own lived experiences and viewpoints into it. And then that being said, we also do like to go on our little tangents and get sidetracked and things, but that either, you know, always leads back to the main point or the main topic that we're talking about, or it at least makes for great conversation for the group.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. And I'll share that. So I had facilitated the first book, and then Jake jumped in and led Not Too Late. And then for the third one, we kind of wanted to spread the labor a little more, but Kayla definitely stepped up and has questions ready for us. I should say we're like 4 chapters away from the end in Braiding Sweetgrass. We're almost there. And so Kayla has been gathering questions for us so that we have somewhere to start when we come in, which has been really helpful. And we also, as Jake mentioned, the first two were anthologies, and then this last one is just from one author. And so it's been interesting to see, you know, in the first two books, there were lots and lots of different voices, and every time we met was completely different authors. This time, it's really just been one one voice through the whole book has been an interesting and kind of nice shift, I think, because she's such a gorgeous, gorgeous writer. I mean, we've all talked about Robin Wall Kimmerer's writing and how beautiful it is. Thanks, Jake. So I want to get into a little more of the personal side of things and what we've all gotten out of this group. And so this is where we're going to get each and every one of you to share a little bit about your experience. So I wanted to start with asking, how have you benefited from this group so far? Have you been able to apply your learnings to the workplace or to your personal community? Basically, why would someone want to do something similar? Would anyone like to volunteer to go first? It's probably an unfair question. I'm looking at Ine. Ine, do you want to go?
Okay, I will go.
Go, Ine.
You're looking at me so hard. I'm like, yes, let me just do it. Okay, so I think the biggest thing that the biggest benefit I got from this, especially considering where I'm living right now, I'm living in the middle of the desert. I've told people before that for me, living in the desert was where I really started to see climate change much more directly on an everyday basis, just in my face. And when we started reading this last book, the theme of reciprocity really hit home for me. Like, really, I've been now observing my surroundings, including all the insects and animals there. And I've been learning a lot from just observing and actually being present in my space more so than I've ever been. Because one, I live literally on the earth in a tent. And then I also have had these books be these kinds of types of catalysts to help me go, hey, you know, what's going on around me? Open my eyes. And it made me think a lot about an exercise that a teacher made me do when I went to UC Santa Cruz as an undergraduate in science class. He just asked us to be open to kind of the love and the beauty around us that nature brings to us. That was like the first class I had. He told us to just walk around appreciating nature. I'm like, oh, what the hell? But so I feel like I'm kind of going back to this moment through these books. That's one of the biggest benefits for me personally. And I also just love that all of the books have given us different voices to listen to and hear from, because it made me think about activism, activists, and advocacy in very different ways and see it from so many different perspectives. I really appreciated that, those components.
Thank you, Ine. Jake, you want to go?
Yeah, I was just going to go back to, I think might have been talked about already, is just kind of the sense of community that we've all gotten from this. So, you know, again, I think it's nice that we all get along with each other and kind of share a lot of the same values. And I think having the approach that we're all coming from international education in different contexts has been really helpful too, in terms of, you know, kind of talking about some of these things that certainly do impact the work that we're involved in and the work that we're doing, and kind of navigating the value that we see in that with some of those impacts. Obviously, you know, sending students internationally is a lot of flights, a lot of overseas flights that are really hard to kind of mitigate and get around. And so I think having this group of people who have all had different careers and different kind of experiences in this space has been really, really beneficial to me.
I'm wondering if we could have Kayla go next, because we haven't gotten to hear from her yet.
The presenting sponsor of this episode of the Canny Climate Dialogues podcast is the University of Auckland's International Office. As you can imagine, New Zealand is a unique place to think about climate through the lens of their indigenous cultures. Leading the world's universities in the Times Higher Ed Global Impact Rankings for the first 2 years of the rankings, as we all work towards the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the international team at the University of Auckland share your concerns about climate action and international education. The University of Auckland is answering the world's call.
Oh, golly. Okay, this will be an exercise in me being succinct. I think the first thing that came to mind was learning, obviously, just from the books we're reading, but also I think, and very hopefully obvious, but the thoughtful and kind of in-depth discussions that we all have and the questions that we bring or that we're prompted with a study guide or something like that. You know, I read a lot in my life, but this is my first ever book club, and I have a brain that's a little bit of a sieve. So being able to talk about things, it really kind of solidifies them in my brain, you know, and I'm trying to learn in this space in climate action, like what can I do, learn about the science. So I feel like that has been helpful to really kind of embed things so I can carry them forward and share them with other people. And then kind of spitballing off of, or not spitballing, but carrying on what Jake said about kind of the community that we've built, the support that we have with the six of us for such a daunting and perhaps maybe distressing topic of the climate crisis has been really wonderful, just to have that support and be able to bring ideas to you guys, or just, you know, achievements that I've made at work or in personal life. That's really wonderful to have some cheerleaders in my corner, if you will. So.
Thanks, Kayla. Adrian, how about you?
Yeah, I think everything that you all have said, I absolutely agree with and is true for me. When we first started this, it was not like fresh in the pandemic, but, you know, still kind of reeling from all of those changes. And for me, it was a really pivotal time professionally. So that's when I started to say to myself, is international education really what I want to do for the rest of my professional career? Or do I want to pivot? I hate that word, but do I want to make a switch to climate in some capacity? And so, I mean, as easy as it is to say that and to kind of, you know, intellectually be like, all right, I'm going to make this career switch. It's hard and it's scary. And the books that we read, particularly All We Can Save and You All, provided me the inspiration and the courage to make that switch. In All We Can Save, it has this really like feminist perspective. It's really all about grounding in love and kindness and authenticity. And that really speaks to me. And it's like, oh, I don't have to be a climate scientist. I can actually be myself. And that's enough. And I can do what I feel it like is most needed in this world. So the stories, you know, all of the different authors' voices, all of your voices were so encouraging and inspiring that I really drew from that to make that switch from international ed. I'm still involved a little bit because I love it. I mean, let's be real. But and also to start a nonprofit organization in San Diego that really focuses on climate justice, what I want to advance it with my life, right? So we have one life on this planet. And in my perspective, we need to do with it like the most we can to improve our collective situation. The readings provided validation to all of this kind of confusion that was in my head. I was like, oh my gosh, like, all of this imposter syndrome, like, I can't do this. I've never done this before. What makes me think, you know, all of these like negative voices, that was all just sort of flattened by the readings, like, oh, this is actually, it has been done, not by me, but other people like me. And then sharing kind of all of my ups and downs with you all was just so encouraging and inspiring and validating that it really helped me make this really difficult switch. And I'm so, so glad I did, because I'm just so much happier. And I feel like my energy is going to something that I really, really care and value.
So inspiring. And I just want to highlight for a moment from what Adrian just said. I don't think she introduced herself at the beginning as the founder of In Good Company, but she is also the founder of this nonprofit. So in this past year and a half-ish, right? I think you hit the 1 year mark recently. She founded this nonprofit kind of while we were doing this book club. And so we've gotten to see it. And that has been so, so cool. So I just want to highlight that comment that she just threw in there.
Thank you. And there are probably comments written in the margins of All We Can Save and like scribbles, you know, that have really helped me get to that point. Because it's daunting, it's scary, you know, but it was really all of you, and like I said, the readings that really helped inspire that and provide that impetus behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. And Katie, I think we want to hear from you.
Sure. So it's been really joyful to be a part of this group. I think we're always thinking of how we can engage students in our work roles, and that's of course like really important and great. But it's just been so lovely to engage with colleagues in the field who have similar interests and who have become friends. It's been a really fulfilling part of my life to add this, and I've really just loved it. I've also learned a lot from this group. A personal example is that I learned how some cities have solar farms and you can opt into solar energy on your electricity bill. And learning about that in this group got me to look into it in my own community. I had no idea that was a possibility before. And now the first big chunk of my electric bill comes from solar energy. And I have shared that with many friends in my community as well. And in the workplace, I'm currently working on a climate action proposal that I plan to present to my team's leadership at some point this year. I will probably be asking for y'all's feedback, if you don't mind, at some point. And so I'm very excited for the possibilities of what's to come with that.
Making moves, all these folks. I love it. I would like to also share that I think I've benefited from this group in one, building a little more confidence in facilitation and hosting and that kind of work, which I really, really enjoy. And so that's been really fun to feel like I'm getting some more practice with people who are just so lovely and supportive and encouraging, which I really appreciate. And I've been able to take that and apply it to other kinds of workshops that I've run, other spaces I've been a host or facilitator. So that's been really cool. And I'm going to save the rest for the next question, which is what you enjoy most about the Book Nook, which we kind of all already dabbled in, I feel like. But what do you enjoy most about our little Book Nook? And what makes this approach in particular so impactful or meaningful? And I'm wondering if I should nominate someone to start or if someone's itching to answer this.
I can jump in. I think it does kind of tie back to what I already mentioned about like community and kind of learning from all of you. I think just kind of the unique space this is, where it is, you know, very much related to a lot of our professional jobs and what we're doing every day, but it's also very much related to kind of our own lives and like our experiences and what we go through. So I think that has been really rewarding for me. And I think just kind of having that really different space compared to other kind of groups and organizations that I've been a part of has been really valuable to me.
Thanks, Jake.
I'll add.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I just adore all of you, obviously. But also, I think it's so cool that we are so spread out across the US. So we all have our unique lived experience with, you know, everything that has gone into our lives and stuff. But there's that place piece of it as well. So like learning about what's happening in Vermont from Kayla, or Colorado from Jake, you know, like local initiatives and kind of understanding different aspects of our kind of collective experience, like Ine living in the desert in Arizona, like those stories are just really impactful and interesting. And it helps us to kind of contextualize our reading in this really unique experience that we're sharing, right? Because we're not just all getting together when we're in a living room hanging out and sharing the same kind of environment outside of our meetings. So it's been really cool to experience through you all, like where you live and what's going on with where you live and what's available there. Like, for example, you know, the rewilding initiatives in Denver, or we talked about Victory Gardens and that kind of thing. And I think it's inspired us to do different things in our own backyard. So that's been really cool.
Katie, how about you?
Sure. You all have been doing a good job of like pinpointing it. When I was thinking about this question, I was like, I don't know exactly how to put it into words. I'm a very, very much an a feely kind of person. So I will describe it in feelings, I suppose. So like after a book nook evening, it's that warm feeling when you've spent time with good friends who really get you and you just feel like your cup has been filled. And it's just been a really wonderful addition to my life. And I'm super, super thankful for the book nook and for all of you.
I love this group. Ine, I saw you seemed ready to go.
You know, the thing is, when you hear everybody speak about things, you just start to feel so many things. So when you're asking us, you know, what are you enjoying most about the book nook? Just the fact that it exists. Like, that's what I enjoy the most about it. I think it's something that I just came to look forward to every week. And I guess, I don't know if I really talked to you all about this in the book nook, but I read a lot, but I rarely talk to people about what I read. I mean, rarely. Either I'm reading too many books and people aren't keeping up, or I'm just not on the same page and whatever. But I talk with people about films, and usually it's only friends and family. So it's very intimate to me to talk about books, because I suppose it's always been this kind of private thing in my head. And I have to feel like the space I'm going to go into to speak about it is one that I'm going to feel good in. And personally, I will just tell you that there's been many, many times where I've been like, ooh, that looks fun. Like a book club that you see, like a sign for someone. And then I will either see the book and not feel connected to the topic, or I will peek my head in to look at the group and go, I don't know. And I've also just felt like sometimes after overhearing people talk about their experiences, that maybe those spaces were not going to be ones where I felt safe to really speak openly and honestly and feel openly and honestly. And you kind of open yourself up to things when you do that. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if I feel good enough about that. So I really felt good that this space was at least one space I could depend on regularly, even though it's not an actual physical space to everyone's comments. And we don't live in the same place. We didn't even really know each other well on like personal levels. And yet here we are now, look at us. So having something like this in existence is very powerful. I'm just very glad it exists.
Thanks, Ine. Me too. Kayla, how about you?
Bringing it home. I feel all of your answers so, so much. But kind of to Katie's point about having a lot of feelings, I also have a lot of feelings. But the first word that kind of came to mind with, you know, what do I enjoy most about book club? Honestly, every evening. So for me, we're ending usually around 9 p.m. So shocked that I'm still awake, but I literally leave the book nook, feeling energized at 9:30 at night. Like, can you believe it, everybody? But yeah, that's the feeling that I have kind of to Katie's point of like the cup being filled. I feel like, you know, I can move mountains. I'm so inspired to get to work on whatever it might be, whether it's like a personal project, something in my professional world, or canny involvement. You know, I leave feeling like renewed, kind of. So yeah, all the warm fuzzies, also the sense of community and friendship and joy. You know, I can't wait to meet all of you in person. I hope you're all huggers, because that's happening if we ever meet in person. And then something I was just thinking of, my brain was a little muddled hearing all of your answers. I'm like, oh yeah, this and this and this. But I think one part of the prompt was what makes this approach so impactful and meaningful. But I'm not sure if this is exactly answering that question, but I was thinking about it, so I'm sharing it. But I've told so many people about my Climate Action Book Club, so many people, like whether it's, you know, I'm coming from it or going to it, or I got to make my book nook time, our meeting, or I'm just sharing what book we're reading. I've told so many people, and it always sparks a really interesting and meaningful conversation. And, you know, we're talking about such a big, huge, scary topic and thinking about it often. having those small conversations and spreading the word a little bit feels like it's going a long way for me sometimes. So that's nice.
Can I add to that a little bit?
Please.
So agree. So much so that I bought 8 copies of Braiding Sweetgrass, and that's what I gave to my family. All my siblings, they got a copy of Braiding Sweetgrass, and I'm hoping to eventually get together with them and talk about it. So just kind of spreading the love, and just kind of a testament to how impactful this experience is.
And I gave a copy to my sister.
Oh, yay.
No, I gave a copy to my sister who's a teacher, and she used it for her environmental science class, the All We Can Stay book. So you just never know how those conversations are going to impact people.
Oh, amazing. I will add that, similar to what has been said already, for me, I think it was really special to have this space, like meeting more regularly rather than just like once a month at the end of the book, meant that we got to get to know each other a lot better. And you could also do every 2 weeks or something, right? It doesn't have to be every week. But I think that made it a lot more cozy, right? It made it easier for us to get to know each other and share what was going on in our lives, which then meant we could be a lot more vulnerable with each other, I think, when it came to discussing these really sensitive, difficult, personal topics. And for me, that means with certain, I don't know, a scientific concept or some really challenging issue, it makes it easier for me to be like, I don't get this. Like, how do, you know, where do I go with this? How should I feel? How do I feel about this? Should I feel a certain way, right? It makes it a lot easier for me to express that and explore that in this group, because I don't feel like there's any repercussion or it'll reflect badly on me in my work or what have you. It's just this really safe, supportive space for exploring these topics without any kind of, you know, backlash that you might experience if you did that in the workplace or if you did that in a classroom, maybe. So I've really appreciated that. And then I wanted to share, similar to Adrian's comment about us being in all different places, we have such a variety of perspectives. And then we're coming from different organizations or roles as well. And so this doesn't have to be within your organization either, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to find people within your organization or even within your team or your division. We're from all different organizations, although Canny is what originally brought us together. And so if you have that variety, it means that suddenly you get these perspectives from different institutions or different cities or different parts of the industry. And that makes for a really rich discussion and different ideas, solutions, actions we can take, and so on. And so that's been really, really cool as well. And what, you know, Zoom has allowed us to do as well. So yeah, it's been really, really special for me. Any other like follow-up comments on this topic before we start to wrap up with resources? All right. So I'd love for us to share with our lovely listeners what resources we would recommend that they follow or take a look at. And I think Ine was going to get us going with this.
Okay, well, the reality of all this is that we have so many great conversations and shared so many resources, we're not going to be able to share everything with you all. But I think that we can highlight a few things. I think one of the one cool things about the book Nook has been that because we had these conversations and we're discovering things together or separately, we're experiencing things and we're just excited to share with one another, that all these different things came up very organically in our discussions. And so we compiled a list and then we added it to a kind of a running Google Doc. And here's a couple or a few, however many I can in the time we have allotted, share with you. I think we should definitely start with sharing the one resource that started this all off. And that is the All We Can Save Project website, allwecansave.earth. They were the kind of initiators via Amy, right? Amy brought this to our attention about this thing called the reading circles, which is meant to really overlap kind of deep dialogue about climate solution and about climate and then solutions oriented community building. So we're putting those things together. That was our first catalyst into this reading circle experience, which we've now evolved into the book Nook. the great thing about that, though, is that it has a starter toolkit and it has resources that are good for just a group coming together or also academic settings. As far as other resources that came up, probably the one that came up the most was a podcast called How to Save a Planet. I don't know how many times y'all referenced that. So it's like, you know, I listened to it too, but it was seared in my mind. So that one was it's co-hosted by a journalist, Alex Bloomberg, and a scientist, Dr. Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson. And that was a really great combination because it has journalism and science knowledge. And so you get this really serious information presented in a fun and playful manner, which is wonderful. And another one that came up a couple of times was called A Matter of Degrees, which has actually some cameos by people who really influenced us in some of the readings that we did. That one in particular is was Dr. Leah Stokes, professor of environmental politics at UC Santa Barbara, and then Dr. Catherine Wilkinson. Yes, Dr. Catherine Wilkinson. She's an author, she's a teacher, she's a co-founder of the All We Can Save Project. So we learned about that through that as well. I would say also the other piece that came out of this as far as resources is it actually encouraged us to look for resources that we might not have looked for otherwise. So for me, for example, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but they were just kind of from all over the nation. And so I started to look for more locally specific podcasts. And that's something I really recommend that people consider, because a lot of times the voices that are your next door neighbors or things that are happening in your backyard, your area, you might not know about them. And the one that I decided to listen to is specific to a resource that's really important in the Southwest in Arizona deserts, water. It's called TAPT. It's all about water and all the different issues we have here with not having enough of it really, and how we can deal with drought issues and mitigation options in the South. So it's a great way to also, I'd say, tap into things that are connected back to environmental justice and climate justice. So especially if you're still having trouble kind of navigating how does justice fit in with climate, listen to a podcast and you will very quickly start to see these connections for what they are, one and the same. They are all connected. So those are some of the things. And the last thing I think I'll mention is just if you want to learn more, one of the wonderful things about resources that are available, there's a lot of them that are about learning more about climate. And so we've learned about resources such as Project Drawdowns, Climate Solutions 101. Adrian, through her organization, offers certificates in carbon literacy. So you can actually get carbon literacy certified. You have Climate Reality Leadership Corps, which is a free training that's done virtually or in person. And then you have programs such as Climate Ambassadors for Environmental Justice, which is a local one in San Diego that helps people kind of see through the lens of environmental justice to empower local folks to take action. If you're not sure how to organize your thoughts around all this, passion planners have been brought up in our group as a great way to get all those thoughts out of your mind onto the paper. Go old school, go on the paper. Or, you know, they do have downloads for free that you can put into a computer and use your, like, I don't know, your iPad or whatever you guys use, whatever y'all use, you can do it. So it's something that I'd say there's something for everyone. The best thing to do is just get started. Think about one of these. I think we're going to share some of these resources with everyone. But once you get together with a group, the resources just roll off of people's tongues and out of their minds onto a shared document that you can all enjoy.
Thank you, Ine. I wish you all could see our faces right now because we are all cackling. Because this passion planner came up. Adrian is a rabid, obsessed lover of passion planners. And honestly, it's changed her life from what I understand. And so we are all fans. And I swear this episode is not sponsored or funded and there's no ad here. But passion planners are apparently the way to go.
So amazing. And like, I had no idea it was like so like something that stuck with you all. Like, I know so many times I've held it up like, look, guys, look. And also it speaks to like local resources. So when I was in international education, I was at San Diego State University, and that's how I met Ine. And I teach environmental science and sustainability at San Diego State University now. But the founder of Passion Planner was an SDSU student. And I never would have known about it if it wasn't for SDSU. And so I wouldn't have shared it with you if it wasn't for my positionality here in San Diego. So thank you for, and I've bought one for like my best friend and my sisters both have them. And like, it's just kind of, I should be an ambassador, but I think I'm like too old and not cool.
And I just
That's
wanna,
not true.
I just want to highlight that once again, one of the thing, key missions for them is that this be available to everyone. So I really did enjoy that kind of justice piece in a way by saying, hey, if you have a passion and you want some way to organize it, you can download pages from their planner. You can use for free. They do not charge for that. You do have to buy the actual plan itself. It's all bound and everything, which is beautiful. But I'm like, wow, that is, I've never heard of anybody doing that. So pretty cool.
So actually they, for every planner, well, they used to do this. I'm not sure if they do anymore. I know they give money to certain organizations, but the way that I got a passion planner is, so they provided a whole bunch of them to SDSU for students. And I was a staff person, but there was just like a ton of them left. And I was like, oh, I cannot throw stuff away. So I better start using this. And I got everybody in my office to, you know, go get passion planners. And it was like the end of the year. So you use the last few pages of it, but I was like, oh, this is really cool. So anyway, yeah, it was all about access, right? Like I wouldn't have known about it if I didn't get my free version of it.
Yay, thank you. Go get yourself a passion planner, folks. Any closing thoughts on passion planners, book clubs, climate action to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
There was one of those tangents that I mentioned earlier for our group, but we brought it back and that's all that matters. And we shared a good resource.
We are so good at tangents. Yeah.
You've gotten a sneak peek into how our book nook actually goes on a regular basis.
And we're all apparently going to make gardens too, right? Because I think we all share that we are all making gardens. We're all growing our own stuff.
There are books and resources you can find on Victory Gardens specifically, which are really cool. And everyone's been sharing updates on how their gardens are going throughout the year, which has been really fun as well. Amazing. Oh man, thank you so much to this amazing group of people. I find you to be so inspiring, and I'm so glad that our listeners get to hear a little bit about you and about our book nook and how we've all benefited from this structure and this group. And I encourage everyone to go check out the resources that we'll have in the show notes and maybe start your own little book club. You're welcome to call it a book nook. We haven't trademarked it yet, but you know, we're the OGs over here. So thank you, everybody. Feel free to find our guests on LinkedIn and talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Canny Climate Dialogues. Two quick, easy climate actions you can take today are to subscribe to and rate our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to leave a comment and let us know what you think. We'd also like to remind our listeners that Canny is a volunteer-run and led organization. If you have felt inspired by this episode today, please consider heading to our website, canny.org, and making a donation to help our operations and growth. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next time.